Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. Special thanks to Kathy Bratz, Coach Kathy, with our movement, motivation, no, Mino and the Mayor program.
It was management.
No. It was.
How are we doing on the program, Johnny?
Not great.
It was something and
movement.
Movement.
And motivation.
I thought you'd manage the food, the portions.
Management.
No, not management, though.
No. Okay.
It's.
We got to get the name of our show.
We do.
Right,
we have to get
the
show right. She's going to be great. Anyway, we are.
And then Ben and Dana Melker, Bay Area Realty. Phenomenal. I haven't been here. And now we're with a gentleman.
Oh, this guy's going to be great.
A good friend of mine, Vietnam vet, United States Marine Corps. Am I allowed to do the hoorah or no?
Roy Rogers.
I know, but am I allowed to do the hoorah?
Yeah.
With the Marines?
Oh, yeah.
Hoorah.
Did you know he worked in radio, John?
No!
Yeah, I worked, I went to college in 1967 in Superior.
Oh!
And,
You're a yellow jacket.
Yellow jacket with Arnold Schwarzenegger was up there.
That's true.
Yeah, he was, on the football team, Yellow Jacket football team.
Wow.
But I got a job as a DJ from 8 till midnight on the WSSU.
That's awesome.
And my wife helped me out. Went to college as Hayes Scholastica in
Minneapolis?
Duluth,
that's right. Yeah.
And different concerts all over the place. And
how did you end up in that part of the world?
Well, I got out of the Marine Corps in 67. And I wanted to go to college, but I didn't want to stay around here.
Where are you from? What was your high school?
Menasha.
Okay.
Well, I went to Nina High School.
Okay.
Graduated from there. So I ended up in Superior, and that's where I met my wife.
That's awesome.
So, that was a little while ago.
Long time ago.
Congrats to you. Jim, I think that's awesome. No, I just think that's great.
Next week it'll be 56 years.
Nice.
Congrats.
Congratulations.
That's awesome. Yes.
So you joined the Marines, right?
I joined the Marines, yep.
And what year was that?
63.
Ooh.
May 3rd of 63, I came in an early sign-up, and then I went in, actually, on the 19th of June.
So you didn't know things were going to turn as bad as they turned in Vietnam, did you, at the time?
Oh, I never heard of Vietnam at that point.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not what you bargained for.
What was your impetus to go in? You weren't drafted. You signed up.
Well, I had a buddy that wanted to join the Army, so we went to the Appleton Post Office, and up above the steps on the second floor, the first door was the Marine Corps, and they pulled us in, and we ended up joining the Marines instead of the Army.
Better salespeople.
Did
That's
you ever
awesome.
Regret that decision?
No, no.
Oh, no.
No.
Not at all? Even in boot camp?
Once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine.
But it's how you're being treated before they allow you to call yourself a Marine.
Oh, yeah. But
yeah.
They cut my hair off right away, and it never grew back.
So you did two hitches, correct?
No, just one.
Just the one.
Okay. 4 years.
Oh, 4-year hitch. Okay.
Yep.
So you get sent to Vietnam. And tell me a little bit about that, what year that was, where you were.
Well, I spent 15 months in Hawaii at Kaneohe Marine Corps Air Station, where I was part of the movie In Harm's Way. John Wayne, Paul Apprentice, and Kirk Douglas, and a whole bunch of others, they filmed that on the Kaneohe Marine Corps Air Station.
Okay.
And so we got $35 a day for 7 days while they did the filming. Then in early March of 65.
You got $35 as a stand-in?
Like the extra light?
Extra?
Yeah, as an extra. Every Marine that on the base got $35.
Oh, so they could film you guys walking around. You couldn't go back at them for, okay.
No.
That made sense, right? So 35. Did you get a speaking line?
No. No.
I'm just kidding.
For residuals?
But if you do see the movie, my platoon comes out between two hills about halfway through the film. it started out as a Marine Corps movie and ended up as a Navy movie about World War II. Mm-hmm. They told us it was all about the Marines, but we didn't have much to do. We just got paid.
Did you see John Wayne and Kirk Douglas and those people?
Oh, sure.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, that's cool.
And if you look at the opening credits of that movie, Kirk Douglas is riding in a Jeep to Waikiki Beach, and he passes SeaWorld.
Okay.
SeaWorld was not built until in the 50s, and yet this was supposed to be in 1941.
40. Oh, my God. That's awesome.
So it was really cool to be part of it. And we met Otto Preminger.
Sure, the director.
The director, we met him because he had the grand opening of the movie. We saw it right away on the base.
Oh, nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
So then you get sent to Vietnam.
Yeah, in March of 65, we got pulled out onto Pearl Harbor and spent 15 days on a ship going to Vietnam.
So did you guys, because you guys were one of the first real serious infantry groups sent to Vietnam, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we were surprised. We got off the ship, got to land, and the Vietnamese women and kids were there to meet us with bottles of Coca-Cola and flowers for around our necks.
And you guys thought you might be facing the enemy like in Tarawa or something, right?
Yeah. I thought, what the heck's going on? So, but then a mile in, then they started opening up on us, so.
Start taking fire that early, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Wow. So just a little bit about your Vietnam. Then we get to the crusp of this whole story, which I think is one of the greatest stories I've ever heard. But tell me just a little bit about life as a grunt in Vietnam in those days in the Marines.
Well, I dug three foxholes. A foxhole is 12 feet around, 4 feet deep, and three people live in it while you're over in Vietnam or on patrol. A lot of patrols. Every day we'd go out like 10 miles and then walk back to the base. Some days we'd be helicoptered out. So the first thing they did when we got to Vietnam, we had to exchange our American money for
MPCs?
MPC, military payment currency. So I got to tell you this story. I sent a $20 bill to B.F. Sharp's Candy Company in Boston, Massachusetts. And they wrote me a letter and they sent the $10 or the $20 back. They said, we're happy to do this for servicemen. We're going to send you 50 pounds of candy. So I waited and waited. It never came. So I wrote them a letter, said I didn't get it. That afternoon, I got 50 pounds of candy. And then a week later, I got a letter back saying, seeing you didn't get the first box of candy, I'll send you another 50.
Wow.
100 pounds of candy.
So,
at no charge.
And the day that I got the box of candy, we helicoptered out to a village, and I opened up that box and was throwing the candy to all the kids as we were going over all the villages.
That's awesome.
But I hope they didn't hit their heads with candy, because imagine from the helicopter.
Yeah. Oh, pick up your speed. Yeah. What was the name of the company?
Foxtrot Second. Oh, B.F. Sharps.
B.F. Sharps.
Yeah. Oh, I sent them many letters, never got any back after I got out of the Marines, but
thank you.
What a great company, right? I mean, you deserve all that. Yeah. All right.
So life as a grunt again in Vietnam, how much contact were you guys in?
Well, I was in contact in June in Quan Tri, and then in August of 65, we had Operation Starlight, and Echo Company got pretty well wiped out because they went through a village and as they were going up the hill out of the village, then the Viet Cong came out of their holes in the ground and pretty well
decimated
them, cut them down from behind. I was pretty lucky at Foxtrot. I was in Foxtrot 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, and we had the rear echelon for that particular battle. And then a week later, I went R&R to Bangkok, Thailand. So I could never figure out how the stewardesses, early on, there was no showers or way to clean yourself in Vietnam. So I spent from April 2nd to about August 15th without a shower, except for walking through the streams and stuff. We never cleaned. So we get on this big plane and go to Bangkok, Thailand. How did the stewardesses ever... they must have had pins, clothespins on their noses or something. We must have stunk like crazy. But
did you get any leeches on you crossing those rivers?
No, but I got a. We used to set up in a cemetery. I was a squad leader, and we'd go behind the cement outer layers of the cemeteries where, and we'd end up sleeping if it was on the monsoon. Then the leeches would come out while we were laying there sleeping, and we'd be, and you can't pull a leech out. You got to burn it out. So you wait, they're hanging all over you, and you wait till you get back to your camp, and then you can, somebody with a cigarette can pull them out.
When I was a kid, if we had a bloodsucker on our ankle, that's what we'd do. Somebody would have a cigarette, and they'd put the lit part in there, and the bloodsucker would back out.
Yeah.
Jim, did you ever have a blood sucker?
No, I just I'm getting lightheaded just listening to this.
Faint again?
Wow.
Well, Roy, tell us about the day you got hit, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Well, I got to go back to that. Bob Hope came over there on December 26th, and he brought Joey Heatherton and Anita Bryant, and Anita Bryant was up on stage, and I climbed up on a tree so I could see her. Better, and I got to the top of the tree, and I didn't, well, I was only 150 pounds back then. I didn't realize that the tree was so fragile. I got to the top, and I broke the top of the tree off where I was, and underneath me was an outhouse.
Oh, geez.
And I fell, hit the roof of the outhouse pretty much center. The walls went out. They had taken this great big pot and put it in the ground with a board on top of it. There was like 8 or 10 of them. There were 7,000 of us at the...
Right.
So I fell into that hole. And everything that was in the hole got spread around to everybody around it.
Now you're going to fade. We got to take a quick break. We are with Roy Rogers, and he's got a tremendous story coming up as well, coming after this. Stay with us.
So take away the flowers that you gave me, and send the kind that you remind me of. Roses, paper roses, oh, how real those roses seem to be.
Welcome back. That's Roy Rogers' girlfriend, Anita Bryant,
did
singing
she sing
the song
this?
That was made famous by Marie Osborne.
Yeah, she also did that, yeah.
Great.
Well, I...
So you're
I,
laying in the middle of the Schmidt house, okay?
Well, my buddies pulled me out. Well, somebody pulled me out and threw me in the China Sea. Salt water is a great cleaner of poop.
Yeah, I would think. Salt.
Wow. So fast forward... I stopped the show that day because Anita Bryant quit singing when she heard this big boom.
Oh, my God.
So 2 weeks later, I had 4 days left in Vietnam, and nobody wanted to go out on a patrol. So 151 of us went out, and they talked me into going back on this patrol. So I was out there, and I stepped on a landmine, and blew my left side up. I was left-handed when I went in the Marine Corps, and the Bouncing Betty came out of the ground and messed my left foot and my left arm and stuff up. So I ended up being evacuated to Great Lakes Naval Hospital.
Can I just jump in? For people that know, a Bouncing Betty, it was a type of mine invented by the Nazis, actually, in World War II. You'd step on it, but it wouldn't go off there. It would go up about waist high and then explode, and they did it intentionally that way to try to scare guys so bad about them, because what they would blow off being about waist high.
Yep. Well, and my rifle caught the bomb as it came up out of the ground, so my rifle was in my left hand, and it spread the
Oh, dissipated a little bit, huh?
Dissipated, and that's why I only got it on the left side. So 2 weeks after I got to Great Lakes, lo and behold, who should come to Great Lakes was Anita Bryant and her husband live on WGN television at 5 o'clock news. And the nurse that was there, Miss White, was asked who they should interview. So she knew the two of us were had pretty good names, so she sent them down to us. So here the television camera and the lights and all this was come down by us, and they talked to the fella in the bed next to me. She said, "What's your name?" He said, "George Washington." So she talked to him for a while. This was live on the right. Television. Then she turned to me and she said, "Can I ask what your name is?" And I said, "Roy Rogers." And she says, "You're kidding." She turned back to George and she said, "Are you putting me on too?" So
George Washington
and Roy, wow, Rogers, and Roy Rogers next to each other in the hospital.
But she did give me a picture, and it says, "With love, Roy Trigger Rogers," from Anita Bryant.
Wow.
So
did you tell her, did you ask if she remembered the day her performance got interrupted?
I didn't have to ask her. She remembered it.
No!
No, wow. She asked me if I was involved in Chulai.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
We had a really good talk that day. I had my reel-to-reel tape recorder next to my bed, and I taped the whole conversation. But of course, that was 60 years ago, and right, that didn't work very long after that. So
that's awesome, though.
Yeah. So, tell me about that name. I mean, that's Roy Rogers. Was it? Most people say, "Come on, what's your real name?"
Well. I always say my mother and dad were horsing around.
That's funny.
And they just picked the name Roy Rogers because he was popular at the time.
Yes.
But as I was growing up, I always had a Roy Rogers outfit.
Oh,
cowboy,
sure,
shirt.
I had one.
Chaps and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And
no, I had a Paladin pistols. One. Remember Paladin?
Oh, yeah.
Have Gun Will Travel? Yeah. Remember that one? Huh?
Roy
Rogers.
No, okay. I'm sorry. No, Hopalong Cassidy was my guy.
I just love the name because nobody ever forgets my name.
Exactly.
I have a hard time picking up and remembering everybody else's name, but nobody forgets mine.
That's awesome, right?
Yeah.
And so you've enjoyed having that name.
Oh,
it
yeah.
wasn't like you're mad at your parents or anything. You just thought that was... I love your line of they were horsing around.
How long were you in that hospital, Roy?
15 months.
Wow.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah, I had 9 operations on my hand trying to get it to work. And at the same time, Miss White was my teacher. She taught me how to eat with my right hand and write with my right hand and clean myself with the right hand. She virtually kept me going because I... The fella that was behind me on the trail when the bomb went off lost his right arm. And he ended up 2 beds away from me in the hospital. He would not talk to me all the time he was in there. He blamed me for stepping on a landmine.
Wow.
So,
do you keep in touch with George Washington?
Unfortunately, the year after I got out, he talked somebody into taking him out on a boat on Lake Michigan and committed suicide.
Boy, that's sad.
Wow. So,
he had a body cast on for the entire time that I knew him. And when they took the body cast off, he was fused together. He couldn't bend over or nothing. So,
you know, one thing I was talking to a buddy of mine, stepped on a mine, Marine in Vietnam, blew out like the backside of his leg and things like that. And he said, at first, you're so happy to be alive. It's mind-boggling, no matter how bad your injuries are. So, but then you start feeling a little bit sorry for yourself until you look around at the people around you. And it's like, okay, that guy's missing 2 legs. That guy's missing an arm and a leg. You guys are so appreciative. The ones I've met, the one who went, up to be alive and where they are and to be here today talking about it versus some of the guys that were in those hospitals with them?
Well, the first thing I thought of was I was left-handed. And I remember saying to the corpsman that I lose my hand because it was all bloody and I couldn't see anything. So I lost two fingers. One finger was in the ground and I picked it up and put it in my pocket. That's another story.
Okay, yes.
They took me to the field hospital. They x-rayed me and they found my finger in the wrong direction in my shirt pocket. So they sewed it back on. Otherwise I'd only have one less, but I always say I gave a finger to my country.
I think the greatest part about you guys is you guys have such gallows humor. You can laugh and make fun of the, you know, most serious things that ever happened to you. Yeah. And like my one buddy who, Marine, the one who I told you about, they thought he was pretty much dead. They put him on the chopper. Okay. And they're like, touching, said, man, God bless you. You know, hope you make it, you know, hang in there. And he wasn't moving, not saying a word. And all of a sudden, out of the blues, it's like rising from the dead. He jumps up and goes, hey, Doc, can you give me another shot of that bleep?
And while
and
you're
like, Rich is okay.
While one you're minute. In the hospital, just real quickly, when your mom came to see you.
Oh, my, I was sitting on my leg. I had no idea what the telegraph said. So I'm sitting on the bed. I know. I was laying in the bed and I had to use the bathroom. So I got up and walked to the bathroom. My mother passed out because she thought I had lost my leg. She just went ballistic. She couldn't take that.
Yeah. Wow. Roy Rogers, I'm so glad you're here.
So great to see you again.
Yeah.
Miss seeing you at the Veterans Council in Appleton, but great having you here.
Okay, thank you.
I can't wait to interview you for my book.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right. And Mrs. Rogers, thank you for coming in, too.
Well, yes, then a quick break. Terry Barr, Slice of Wisconsin.
Off of Mino and the Mayor, you can watch the show live right now on Facebook. Search for Mino and the Mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. What a great guest. Man, we've had some great guests today, but Roy Rogers, he had to tell, I wanted to make sure he told that story about with Anita Bryant. I just think that's the most wonderful story live on the air, and she thought they were all pretty much pulling her leg.
Right.
I love that story.
Would you?
Yes.
And George Washington,
yep.
Roy Rogers?
Yep.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So we're going to be talking with Terry Barr here in just a little bit.
And he's just showing us some pictures of his time there.
Is that you in Vietnam, Roy? Wow.
Wow. I can see why you picked
Studley
him
guy.
Up. Yeah, I guess.
This might have been the biggest catch at UW Superior. Huh?
Just bobbing for apples, bobbing. Man. Whatever it takes.
Thank Bye. You, guys. You're awesome. That was just great. Yeah. Wonderful. Kathy Bratz again once earlier this morning. Moderation and Movement with Mino and the Mayor.
Moderation our, Movement. That's
moderation Movement with Mino and the Mayor. That's our new theme. Write that down.
I am.
Then Ben Malcor joining us here from Bay Area Realty had some great advice. Once again, you know, if you're looking to buy, you got to go to a buyer's agent. I mean, God bless if you're trying to do it on yourself, but you go to realtor.com, 99% of those, it seems like, have already been claimed. But somebody, if you have a buyer's agent, they will every single morning, trust me, first thing they do, last thing they'll do before they go to bed, first thing in the morning, if you're a good buyer's agent, you'll check the MLS, see if anything kind of fits in the spectrum that they're looking for.
Right. Let you know. And
they will work for you like you can't believe. Yeah. So anyway, but we're going to be talking with Terry Barr here. Once again, this segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Folks, I'll tell you what, if you're looking to improve your house in one really, really good way, and Ben Malcor will be the first one to tell you when it comes to curb appeal, nothing stands out more than doors and windows. It kind of is a reflection on how you've taken care of your house, and they've got a great thing going. $18 per window, $81 per patio door per month. You got to just check them out. Visit PellaWI.com. Get a free in-home consultation. They will get it taken care of for you. I got another text here. Officials said Tuesday, or Todd put this up. Officials says Tuesday's attendance for the 2024 fly-in convention hit 686,000 people. Was that the day we were there?
No, that's total.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They said this yesterday.
Tuesday attendance. Okay. Oh, I got it. Officials said Tuesday.
That official said
attendance
on Tuesday.
Yep. For the 2024 fly-in convention hit 686,000. That number surpassed 2023's record high attendance of 677,000. Additionally, there were more than 2,580 international attendees from 98 countries outside the U.S., marking a 9% increase from 2023. 98 countries.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I didn't even know there were 98 countries.
I didn't either. I thought there were like 60.
No, no, no. There's over 100. That's
wow.
The 100, the
98 countries.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It's incredible.
That is by far the majority of countries.
I would imagine.
Wow.
Yeah. How many are in the Olympics? Cool. I don't even know.
Well, it's weird because the Olympics, they have like really more, they call them nations. So it's not really.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not really countries. So there can be a country with one or two nations, so it's not the same as countries, but it's close. It's over 100, right? What are they? 194?
No, I don't know. I really don't know. That's a really good question.
Yeah, no idea at all.
But there's only what? There's only 200 countries in the world, right?
Is there
203?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, what was that? That was a long time ago. But a couple of them have changed in our lifetime.
Well, things have changed too, because there used to be the Soviet Union,
right.
And then that broke up into how many smaller countries?
Right. So that added the number.
Yeah. All right.
193 are recognized. Two are not recognized.
So. Well, are you talking about the Olympics?
Nope. According to the United Nations, there are 195 recognized countries in the world. 193 are actually members of the United Nations.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Like North Korea is probably not, right?
I would say that they're not United Nations.
Right.
Yeah. They are.
I still think that guy's going to cause problems.
Oh, he is.
I really do. I think he's got a certain
something about him.
There's a
couple nut jobs that you read about. He's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sending those balloons over.
That's what I mean. I mean, like, weird stuff. And then they were dropping, like, sewage on South Korea.
No, that's
balloons.
What I'm saying. That's what it's.
He sent those balloons over here, too.
Oh, no. I was talking about the okay.
Yeah,
I was talking about the sewage
stuff.
Balloons.
Yeah. Like, really?
And he's sending, and then they told him to stop. He just sent more. So,
and they say his sister's even worse.
Oh,
wow. All right.
Isn't that guy that his uncle's like, I don't think I like what you're doing. Next day he's dead.
See, uncle. And they like use a piece of artillery, I think, on some of these people. It's like crazy.
Fall in line.
Wow. I heard Kevin Van S and Talk of the Town will be at the City Band concert tonight. Party at Jim's?
I don't think that's tonight.
Yeah.
If it is. I'm having a yes. The answer is yes, but I don't think you got the right date because Kevin told me, and I haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks, he told me it was the last band concert of the season. And then I was going to have, entertainers don't eat, obviously, before they play. So he was going to come over after, but the people who come in for the concert, like John and a couple other people that I've invited, Todd.
You did not invite me.
Well, I really didn't. I was thinking about it.
Oh, it is.
You did
tonight.
Not invite Todd.
It's tonight.
It's tonight.
You guys, I can't do it. I got too much stuff to do today.
Wow.
Well, we were, because you were going to do the hot dog bar.
I
right?
know,
right.
But I can't.
And
throw
I said,
that.
Hey, I'm in. And you didn't say, yeah, stop over. You just, that's what you said.
Pull that off.
7 today. O'clock tonight, St. James Park.
In fact, I think your exact words when I said, hey, I'll stop by, your exact words were,
Yeah, so that's tonight, Jim.
How did that make us feel?
Well, what night were you expecting to have a hot dog bar? Because we'll still show up that night.
I thought it was the last concert. Maybe what's today?
Well, today's the last day of the month, isn't it?
Yep.
No. The band concerts, there's three more band concerts. What are you doing tonight?
Obviously, I'm not coming to your house for a hot dog.
Well, right? Kevin is, though.
Yeah,
I got to pull this thing together. I'm going to go to Costco after this. I can do this. Mm. I can pull it off. Okay, but...
Just call your chef.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem. I can't. I know there's going to be no linens. I don't know if I can pull this off, you guys. I can't.
I'm not prepared. You can't just throw this on me, Lee.
I do, man. I need a couple days on this.
Can't do it.
I might be able to do something. So, all right. We'll talk about it after.
We got a text from Brian who says, Jim doesn't need to be there.
Absolutely.
Hurt, but you're right.
We'll take care of Milton.
Okay.
You go for a walk.
No,
yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Let me think about this.
You saw my Facebook, though, with Milton and my granddaughter.
I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you for putting that on.
But he literally posed.
Yeah, he would do
that. He literally posed for the picture.
Yeah.
He knew what was going on, and he literally posed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be him.
All right. So, I give him credit for that. Very special thanks once again to Roy Rogers being here and his wonderful wife. And what a story what he's overcome, though. You imagine that, though, 15 months in the hospital. Although, you know what? We've had two people on today that... I mean, Kathy who was just decimated in that car accident, broke so many bones, lost a leg. It's incredible. And boy, she just has bounced back, walks, you know, what, 5 to 10 miles. And
their attitudes are like,
attitude just, is everything. I mean, people always used to say that, and you don't believe it. Because I didn't have a great attitude when I was younger. I'm going to be honest on you with you on that.
I think I had a pretty good attitude. I remember the teachers saying that I wasn't applying myself.
Yeah, they always say that.
Well, that's because you know what that means? It means you're getting like...
I think that's a nice way to say you're not very bright. You're dumber than bag of rocks.
I think that's a nice way of saying it. I think they're like saying if he would settle down, put him on Ritalin or something, which my parents didn't do, that he could get A's and B's instead of B's and C's. I think that's what they meant by he's not applying himself. Okay. That's what I think they meant. But I'm glad I didn't do the drugs back then.
Did they even have them back then?
Yeah, I don't know if they did or not.
I don't know of any kids taking any drugs.
So that's why I had to wait to calm down.
Okay. I could, you know what I wish? I wish, oh, by the way, Todd's typing something here. Tomorrow's recipient for the Mino Morning Birthday song is Donna Schmidt.
I thought it was by request.
Ah, well, maybe Donna requested.
That was a vote.
Yes, it's a vote.
Well, I'm glad you spelled her name right. Most people don't, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like Schmidt beer, right?
What?
Schmidt beer? Isn't that how Schmidt beer is spelled?
No, it's DT.
Is it? The Schmidt beer?
I don't know.
I think it's spelled just like that.
The reason I was.
DT.
Oh, it is DT for Schmidt beer?
Yeah, ours is DT. But no, the reason I was complimenting Todd was most people spell her name with two N's. And she's one of the few that have one N in Donna. And that's because her dad wanted a boy. His name was Don. But then they had a girl.
Do you remember the Saturday Night Live skit with Chris Farley? Schmidt Gay.
No.
The guy's walking around at this pool party, real tight little Speedos, and have a bottle of Schmidt beer hanging out of their thing.
And he had those glasses where he could flip them up.
And it's like, yeah.
And it's Chris Farley, who is this big guy, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That was actually a really, really funny skit that they did.
Everything he did was funny. I don't think he did anything that was a dog.
Everything and anything.
So, yes. He would reference Father Toddy.
Okay.
Do you remember that? He had a skit. He would talk about the trees. So that's my cousin. As a matter of fact, that funeral I went to last Friday, it was Barb Toddy, which was a...
You're kidding.
No, and because those guys went to school together and they knew each other. Actually, he did. I think Father Matthew Toddy is his name, did Chris's funeral.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, yeah, those guys were friends. So then he did that skit, you know, Father Toddy. Yeah, that's who he was picking on.
And it's your cousin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was with him
last week.
Oh, my gosh.
As we
did visit. They go to Marquette together?
Yes. And
Jim is like a once removed brush with greatness.
It's pretty far removed.
Who was the guy you said this morning before the show that you met? It wasn't the Dalai Lama, but it was somebody up there. Netanyahu.
Ben, the Prime Minister. Yeah, I met him. We're in Jerusalem at a table with, it was a kind of a mayor's conference of from all around the world, which is really cool to go to those things. You sit around that round table you see, and then you put the headsets on because.
Translators?
Right to your language.
Wow.
French guy starts talking and it's like, okay, I get it. And yeah, I thought that was really cool. So then of course I said something about how great, you know, Green Bay in the United States is. And everybody's like, oh, you know, they start clapping. Anyway, this is that. I just want to show you Johnny real quick here. This is that Father Toddy.
Well, he's a lot taller than you. For being your cousin, he's like 6 inches taller than you. I mean, that happens.
He's my cousin. Okay. So we were at this table. We were having lunch. And then this guy came over and he said, you know, would you like to meet the Prime Minister? I said, yeah, we'll do that. So he was eating. He was at a table and we just went and talked to him. And, you know, of course, he's going to say nice things about, you know, the United States. But, yeah, that was.
Okay, that's got to be kind of cool because. I would say Duluth is about the same size as Green Bay, right?
Yeah, that's close.
Pretty close. So you go to these conferences, and it's like, and now in the 100,000 category, Duluth. Hey, we got some great things going on here in Duluth. We got a... We got a new bridge coming up. And
ice skating rink.
We got a place called Grandma's Pizza Place, which is really good if you come to Duluth. Okay, thank you, Luth. And now, Green Bay, Wisconsin!
Yeah, people thought Green Bay was bigger than
the mayor of Tuttletown. Ladies and gentlemen.
It wasn't like that at all.
Jim Schmidt. Wow. Like standing ovation. Then he brings up, go Pack, go. Go Pack, go. Boom, boom, go Pack, go. That's right, exactly. All that kind of music. And the poor guy from Duluth is just sitting there quietly.
Believe me, John, Duluth wasn't there.
Now, right. Now this would be a contest.
He didn't have a seat at the table, huh?
No.
We could do a contest where we list four famous people, and our listeners have to guess the one that Jim has not met, right?
Oh, I like this.
Well, we could do that.
That would be fun. I like it.
And what does meeting mean? Just shake hands. It's that, not dinner thing, just shaking hands, right?
If you've met them and maybe said hi.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Had a brief conversation even.
Oh, yeah.
Not just in a line where it's like, hey, how you doing?
Right,
hey, how you doing?
No.
Reception line.
This is like, not that he's famous, but like Chris Christie was here, right? And so I spent some.
He's famous.
Okay, met with him, but like he had a rope line. He was kind of a weird.
So, Jim, give us four names, three of them you've seen that you met and one you haven't. Let's play right now. We got 1 minute.
In fact, you don't even have to say the one you haven't. Just say who you have. No, wait, don't say it loud. No, you got to write it down
for us.
Give
us four. Just give
us four.
You
want me to say it out?
No, because Jim, people, it's doing a contest. Well, it's not that hard.
We're going to play.
Okay.
So, Jim, just four people, three of them that you know, one of them that you don't, and let John and I guess right now in the next 40 seconds.
I don't
want to
see that.
I want to look at that.
And read them out of order, because we know the last one is going to be the one that you've never met.
Yeah.
Because that's the way you're going to do it.
All right. 30 okay. seconds. 30 what seconds. Do you got?
Bush 1, Bush 2, Clinton, Obama.
I say you've never met Obama.
I think I've seen a picture with
him. Oh, my God. I've met Obama. Obama, John, I don't want to drop names here. I met that guy. That guy kind of even knew me. One time I met him, he asked how my mom was doing. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Whoa, I didn't know he touched a nerve there.
We're going to come back with the answer on this.
All right.
Right after this.
All right. Back after this.
And now back to Who Does the Former Mayor Know with John Mino.
And who does he not know?
Right.
All right. So I guess that you didn't know Obama and you just jumped right down my throat.
I think I probably met. Well, that's not.
Give me all four again.
Well, I just took, some presidents. Bush 1, 2, Clinton, Obama.
Okay.
I know you met Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I'm going to guess it's George H.W. Bush that you did not meet. Bush 1.
That's Bush 2, isn't it?
No.
W.
Bush 2 is W.
Oh, that's right. I thought that's what you said.
H.W.
Oh, H.W. Gotcha.
Yeah. You know what, though? After I wrote this down, I think I did meet him.
Well, I was going to say.
But that would have been, Todd, that would have been just a handshake thing. That wasn't, I really talked to George Bush, to G.W., Clinton, as you know.
So who didn't Obama. You meet in that well, list?
I'm going to say it's Bush 1, but I can't say, I didn't talk to him.
He never
I just
came
met
here.
Him.
Yeah, but you did meet him. So again,
I know it's
that
not really,
game is flawed.
That was a little. You didn't give me any time though to come up with.
Come on,
still.
You could have picked Leslie Uggams. You know,
I met her.
Okay. You met Leslie Uggams. Well, that's true.
Of course,
Carlton.
I did.
All right.
Did you have a little fling with her? I mean, I'm just
not
wondering.
Who's Carol Channing?
You had a fling with her?
Oh, I had a nice talk with her.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Sonny Bono.
You met him?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. I'm going to do one right here.
Okay.
Is this you?
Yes, me.
Okay, so you're going to give us four names.
Yeah, and we're going to tell you the one that you did not meet.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Mrs. Mino. Okay, there's got to be some names
these
that we recognize.
These are big. There
okay.
are.
All right. Dan
They're
Marino.
Big names.
I want big names. These are going to be all sports guys. Of course, mine are all politicians.
Are you ready?
So, yeah, go ahead. Four names.
Ready? Todd?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ready? Johnny Unitas. Joe Namath. O.J. Simpson, Mickey Mantle.
OJ. I know it.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say Namath.
Incorrect.
O.J.
Incorrect.
Really? I'm surprised you wouldn't have talked about that.
I did one time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, Johnny Unitas, he was here, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Well, we only got two. Which one do you want, Todd? Who's left that you...
Johnny Unitas and Mickey Mantle.
Okay, I'm going to go with Mantle.
I'm going with Unitas.
Unitas. The only one of those I never met.
Wow.
He's here.
Unitas for what?
I've never done it. I mean, my dad used to sit next to him in church on Sunday mornings here at St. Willibrod's when they'd play in town.
Did he ever get into broadcasting?
A little bit.
Wasn't he here but for that, a game?
Maybe, but that would have been like early 70s.
No, it was late 70s.
Late 70s. Okay.
I was at St. Okay. Norbert. We I went to a here. Game, and his friend of mine's like, oh my God, there's Johnny Unitas. And I'm like, who's that?
But I met O.J. Simpson.
Was he a jerk or was he nice?
No, he was nice. He was checking out the Sugar Bears, the Honey Bears, the Chicago Bears cheerleaders. Monday Night Football. It was the night 1985. When the fridge scored that touchdown, he ran over George Cumbie that night in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Met him on the field. I was doing stuff, and I actually asked him if I could do an interview with him. He goes, oh, man, I'm just running late. He was just over there scoping out the, honestly, the honey
Well,
bears.
At least he treated you nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and they're like, OJ, hey, OJ, hey, how you doing? And I think he was wearing those Buglamani shoes or whatever you call those things.
You want four of mine?
Yes.
So if you guys can
guess
me.
Yes.
Of course.
All right. Because I was in music, a lot of these are music, obviously. Ellen DeGeneres.
Okay.
Eminem, the rapper. Jennifer Lopez. And Madonna. Which one of those four have I not
J-Lo. Because I know you almost had sex with Madonna, right? What? You told us that.
I didn't say that quite.
Well, kind of. Remember that story?
No.
You
I'll
don't?
Go with,
I'll never forget it.
I'll go with Ellen DeGeneres.
DeGeneres,
yeah, sorry.
Johnny got it right. Jennifer Lopez is the only one I have not met.
There you go. All right.
So who was the most famous person you've met? Now, that's all subjective, but...
I think for me it'd be Bush, don't you think, W?
That you met?
Yeah, I showed you a picture with him.
That's the most famous person you've met?
Who's bigger name than a big name president?
I don't know, the Dalai Lama.
Wow,
the
okay.
The Pope.
You met the Pope?
I didn't meet the Pope. No, I wasn't one of the chosen few. We were up on the stage, like whatever the...
Well, you can't throw that out there if you've never met him either.
I didn't say I met the Pope.
Well, you're kind of criticizing me because, oh, wow, George Bush is the most famous. How about George Patton's grandson?
Oh, everybody's met him. All right. he's been here so many times.
Well, again, Mickey Mantle?
Yeah, I would think... Well, you know what?
Clint Eastwood.
Okay, I would say... Okay, let me ask you this. I had a conversation with Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood's big. His most famous person that he met, George. Do you think? How would you categorize Clinton, Obama, GW?
GW seems bigger for some reason. I don't know why. I don't think so. You don't think so?
You?
I mean, coming from that family and the whole thing.
The family's cool.
All right.
I mean, his mom was here.
Yeah, I didn't meet her.
Yeah, she came here and campaigned a couple times for John.
So, Goddard. Who do you think would be like the most famous person you could possibly meet?
Well, I think
maybe the Dalai Lama. I
would think. Yeah. I think
but does he do anything anymore?
No, he's a little weird.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that going around lately.
Yeah. Just an old weird guy.
I think, from a popularity standpoint, I think Obama's very popular.
Yeah,
I really do.
I would
John.
Probably lean
and
on that.
And he's young. He's
hip.
He's not done.
The kids love him.
Okay,
I think he's probably one of the more famous people I've met. And in terms of actors and actresses, you know, I don't know. That's totally subjective. But
Eastwood's big, though.
Oh, yeah. No. Jerry Lewis?
No.
Maybe back in the day, like
Jerry,
what,
no,
the
60s? No. I know some people used to do those telethons, and they'd go to those big conventions where he'd be, and they said, just strange.
Yeah. Oh, he's a weird
That
dude.
Really came out right before he passed.
Yeah, it did.
That strangeness like really came out.
Yeah.
Rodney Dangerfield, met him a number of times.
I'd
love to meet him.
I actually sat
is he
in
alive
his dressing
or is he dead?
Room.
He's dead.
He's dead.
In his dressing room, wear that white robe. He was
really
in his dressing room, too.
No kidding. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
Amanda's got four. You want to try her?
Yeah, okay. Mr. T.
Okay.
John Cena. Ted Nugent. Jesse James Dupree.
Okay, again, Mr. T was selling hair products when I met him. I don't think I met Ted Nugent. I think you've met him.
I met Ted Nugent. I actually picked Ted Nugent up at the airport, drove him over to Tony Mandridge's house.
That's cool.
I met, did not meet Mr. T. I met Jesse James. I met her before she was married.
Him.
Oh, him. Oh, I thought you meant
Jesse James Dupree.
Oh, who's that?
Oh, yeah,
singer Jekyll.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of Jesse James. She's the country singer. I'll go with Mr. T.
No, Mr. T. No. I met in an airport. It's actually Ted Nugent. I opened for him, didn't meet him.
Opened for him? What do you mean?
He was at County Fair, and we opened for him.
Who's we?
Me and the radio station I worked for at the time.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep, Mr. T was selling curling irons.
He's a sweet man.
Curling irons?
Yeah. I pity the fool.
Wasn't he bald?
Yeah.
Oh, he was the curling Mohawk, right? Oh, that's right. The Mohawk thing. That's right.
Yeah, or maybe it was Con Air.
The same thing that Maria Parmigiani did.
Oh, burned himself?
Burned herself, which I've done. Curling irons. All right. Hey, this has been a fun show. We'll be back in tomorrow morning. Thank you all so much for being here. Don't forget, birthday.